If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you didn't come expecting to look at the screen. If you have your Bibles with you, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, the rest of you sit next to someone who does. All right, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Before I start reading the scripture here, I'm going to be just following through with part of Pastor Rocky's series on Do You Believe? And he has preached a few series on Do You Believe in Miracles? And I believe last week was Do You Believe in Promises? Is that right? Okay, making sure y'all was here. And today we're going to talk about your mission. Do you believe in your mission? And we're gonna, and I'm not gonna try to tell you what your mission is and how you achieve your mission, because if you don't believe in it, all that doesn't really matter right now. So we just need to get back to the focus of believing that you have a purpose and you have a mission, and believing in that, and taking from the examples that Moses has given us through God's word here. But look at me in Deuteronomy. It's gonna be a lot of scripture. Just follow along with me, starting there, chapter 1. Verse 1, Deuteronomy is a book that Moses, it's the fifth book of the Pentateuch, the fifth book of the writings of Moses, and he has taken the new generation, after the old generation had rebelled and denied and was not going to see the promised land, now he's reminding the new generation what they're missing out on, and or what the old group had done, and hopefully helping them learn from their father's mistakes. And so he's repeating a lot of the things that had already happened. And he begins there in verse number 1. He says, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophil, Laban, Hazaroth, and Disahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir and Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel, according to all the Lord had given him as commandments to them. After he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edorai," say that 20 times real fast, "on this side of the Jordan, the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, 'The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowlands, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them.'" Now I want you to skip down to verse 19 as he continues. It says, "So we departed from Horeb and went through all the great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, 'You have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us, and let them search out the land for us, and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities into which we shall come.' The plan pleased me well. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshkol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, 'It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in it, in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, Do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, and all the way that you went until you came to the place, to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and the cloud by day. And you can continue to read the rest of this, and the Lord is obviously angry. There in verse 34, and he took an oath, saying to them, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, and on down verse 38, and Joshua. Now I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 18. There's three verses there, starting with verse number 1. And Joshua writes, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for just being you. Lord, we praise you for all the wonderful things that you do for us and how you provide and how you just take care of us as your children. But Father God, if you did nothing else, you are still worthy. And Father, as we break your bread and we look into your word to see the examples that we need to learn from, Father, I pray today, not that the altars will be filled full of people crying, but that when we're done, the streets will be filled with servants. Father, have your way. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me. I am nothing without you. Help me, Lord, not to get in the way of your message, not to distract, not to become some entertainer, but Father, to simply deliver it to me. Use me, Lord. And may everyone here hear from you, Father, and not deny your voice, and truly pick up their cross and follow you. Pick up their mission and follow you, Father. This is your time. Have your way in it, Holy Spirit. And Father, if there's anything evil, anything distracting that is in this place, I pray that you will remove it in the name of Jesus, that this place will be surrounded by a hedge of your angels, Father, standing guard to fight off anything or anyone who's going to take away from this celebration, this assembly, as we recognize you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. We're going to look at that just for a moment. But I want to share with you why I'm right here. I believe most messages, now, as a pastor or a preacher, a lot of times when you preach a lot, you tend to want to just put a bunch of messages together if you're not careful. And you want to just make sure you have something to say to the people, something that's going to make you go, ooh, ah, what a great message you preached, and how exciting that was. Wasn't church good? You know, I bet when Joshua spoke over in Joshua, that he wasn't trying to make the people as they assembled together feel good about what they were doing. He came to convict them and say, what's your problem? Now, that's not very popular in most churches because most pastors are, they're not the leader of the church, they're the employee of the people. And so it makes it tough to bring these messages. But I thank God for a congregation that understands receiving the truth, even if it hurts. And this is not a message to beat anybody up. This is a message to encourage you. But I want to tell you, I was brought to this message not because I was supposed to preach or prepare a message, But this is something that has affected me personally. And I'm just simply going to share with you what God has laid on my heart as he has brought me to this place and has brought me through that desert. And as I look at the examples of the Israelites and what they did, I don't want to make those mistakes. I have, and you have. But you know what's awesome is God's mercies are new every morning. And no matter where you're at right now, you can say, now I will pick up my mission. I'll move forward. And that's what we're going to do today. Now I want to skip down in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. Now this is a verse that, you know, you've heard us say that the Word of God, God's Word says that it is living, it is breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword. But man, when verse number 6, I was reading, I was studying, I went through all kinds of passages of scriptures. I went everywhere and I decided, God, are you speaking to me? Hello? I mean, I don't hear your voice. I want to hear something. And a lot of times what we're asking is, God, we want to feel that emotional honeymoon feeling again. But I decided to go back through. I'm just going to go back through reading the Bible through. I got to this point, verse number 6. I was like, wow. He spoke to me and said, you've been at that mountain long enough. Okay, you feel bad. You feel a little pressed. Things ain't going the way you thought it ought to be going. But I think what God was saying is, you've whined long enough. Get up. He said, this mountain has contained you. It's broken you down. But now you need to get up. This is a personal message for me. You know, I can hear God saying, I know your pain, but you know what? You're being pressed. But remember my words, you're not crushed. You know, I kept hearing God saying, you've been at this mountain long enough, get up. You might be in despair, but you haven't lost hope. You might be persecuted, but guess what? Through it all, you've never been alone. Now, definitely, not going to let you be destroyed. Anybody ever felt destroyed before? Hopeless? Going through the desert, feel like you're chained to a big old mountain that you're dragging behind you, and you're like, well, God, what are you doing? And you know, we've questioned God. Of course we question God. I pray that you come back to some kind of reverence as you do. But God said, you've been at this mountain long enough. We can bring a church to a point. We can bring a people to a point. But there comes a time when we individually and as a church have to say, we have been at this mountain long enough. When are we going to pick up our mission and move forward? Now, he goes on. You look with me at verse number 21. He said, look, the Lord our God has set the land before you. Go and possess it as the Lord God our fathers has spoken to you. Now, I want you to see something here. I've just got a little faucet running out of my nose here. Excuse me. But that's usually normal for me. He said to go and possess it as the Lord, as God spoke to the fathers. And he said, don't fear, be discouraged. And look what they did in verse number 22. Now this is, I looked through this and I saw something different. He says, and every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us for the way by which we should go up and the cities into which we shall come. Now, okay. You said go possess the land. God has given us the land. He said go get it. But God, just to make sure you're right, just to make sure that we're heading in the right direction, I know you said that's our land and we're going to go possess it. But God, just to make sure, we're going to put a committee together. Does that sound familiar? Come on, you can say amen anytime in this message. Even if I'm wrong, just say it for fun. Don't we do that? And I believe the reason Moses didn't go in that promised land with him also, because he went along with it as a leader. He said, you're right. That's going to take all the pressure off of me. Thank you. That's a good idea. I am the leader. I'm the pastor. I'm the whatever. And God said, we're going to, you know, look at this speech. He's saying, don't be discouraged, man. Come on. We're going to go to this land. We're going to take this land. Let's go. They had traveled 220 miles up to this point where they got to this mountain. And they went, whoa. I love my mission as long as I'm just walking to get there. But now that I actually have to start sacrificing or working or giving some of myself to it, now I'm scared to death. And so guess what? We're going to send. I'm not going in there. That's up to the elders. That's up to the pastors and the deacons. We're going to send them in there, and then you can come back and tell us if it's okay. Moses went along with it. Said, man, that pleases me. Thank God that you come up with something that I don't have to lead for a change. So it pleased them. And another funny thing there in verse 25, he says, they also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought back word saying to us, it is good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Duh. It is good. You know what? That land that God promised us, guess what? It's good. It's good. You had to send a committee to go find out. How many times have we got together and decided something that God has already told us? How many times? None? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Amen? We know what God wants us to do, but because we're not ready to take up our mission, we backtrack and say, well... And we sound real smart as leaders sometimes. Well, you know, the right thing to do is let's don't rush into something. Let's back up and let's organize and put our heads together. And when it's all said and done, we find out that it's still the same. It's still good. Of course, and I want you to underline that one part for a reason. I'm going to show you something. I want you to underline, it is a good land. And I'm going to show you something here in a minute, how God speaks to us, reminds us words that we say. And he says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but you rebelled. And then it was a good land. It was still the way God said it. It was still promised. It was still a wonderful place for them to go. God was going to take care of everything, but they still complained. The same thing that we do. I don't care how many times you think about it. How many times you organize it or put your committees together, if you're scared to go and you're having intention to rebel against God, I don't care how great it might look, you have made up your mind and God is not going to go against you, your heart and your will. He will press against it, but he also gives us a choice. And your choice this morning is to pick up your mission, scared or not. Run scared, but don't stop running. Don't stop. And you go, I want you to look at verse number 28. They complained about it, and then our imagination start taking us away. We start thinking of reasons why we can't take up the mission. Things that are just exaggerated. And you look down there at verse number 28 towards the bottom. They said that the cities are fortified up to heaven. They said, we went in there, the giants are 500 feet tall. And there's mountains and there's walls that go 15 miles up in the air. It's just, man, we can't go in there. You know what that sounds like a lot of times? It's like a bunch of little five-year-olds. A kid comes running in the house, it just turned dark, he runs in the house, and he says, Daddy, man, there's a monster out there. It was over there in the bushes, and it's got big teeth, it's got a green face, it's got claws and a big tail, it's got all this nasty stuff, Daddy, it's out there. Daddy, you got to go get that. And what do? You go out there and you shake the bushes and a little rabbit goes, Hunter, is this the monster you was talking about? This is what I saw in verse 28, fortified up to the heavens. We have seen the sons of Anakin. And God, I don't think you're big enough to handle them. Let's be honest. Is that what they said to God? That's what they said to God. But he told them not to be terrified, and he went on, and they couldn't see the promise for the giants. And then there was the penalty, and God got angry there in verse 34 and verse 35. This is where I want you to underline something again. Verse 35, God remembered that they came back and said, that land that God said was promised us, that is good land. God stored that in his... Well, not like God has to store anything in his memory. It's already there. And he said, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land. Can you see God saying that? And the Lord heard the sound of their words. They did everything. They did it their way. God allowed them to do it their way. And they still rebelled, even though they said it was good land. God says, you know that good land you talked about? You're not going to see it. I've had enough. You are not going to see that land. I gave you a mission. I gave you the promises. I gave you so much. Can you not remember all I did? And you wandered around for 40 years and your sandals didn't even wear out. And I gave you food to eat. But because you rebelled against me and disregard me, you're not going to see that good land as you called it. Except for Joshua and Caleb, who was obedient. Now I want to go over to Joshua chapter 18. We'll hit that real quick. Now, the first thing they did, Joshua brought them together, brought the congregation together, the children of Israel. They assembled. Now, I want you to understand, they assembled together. They set up the tabernacle. First thing Joshua said we need to do, we need to worship. Let's come together. Let's worship. Let's don't come to church and think of all kinds of great church work that we can do. People are tired of church work. Amen? Y'all can say amen because y'all don't do a lot of it. Say amen again. It was true. Anyway, we don't like doing church work. But I'm going to tell you, and Rocky's not here, and he can beat me up when he listens to the video. That's okay. It's truly okay because the times need to stop where we guilt people into doing a bunch of church work, but we don't encourage them to carry on their mission. Come on. The rest of you will get it when you read the sermon later. We ask a lot of people to do a lot of things. There's a work day coming up Saturday. We need people to do this. We need people to do that. You know where that focus is? That focus is on this building. It's on something material. Now, if we were pushing to carry on a mission and tell people, pick up your mission. Go out there and win the lost. Go out there and take care of that world. Take care of your neighbor. Take care of the widows. Do all these things spiritually that we're supposed to be doing. If we put, and I'm telling you, I'm just as much at fault. If I was to encourage you more about your mission, instead of come and do some kind of, add some kind of building to the back of the church, then I'd be okay. But I have been a part of that leadership that said, come do a lot of work. And when you do it, I need you to put your mission aside. Those days need to stop. I believe if we take care of our mission first, everything else works out. God takes care of the rest of us. But they assembled together, and I want you to keep in mind it was temporary. I want you to look to your left and your right. Look to the person to your left and right right now. Every one of you, you either need to be in the process of being trained so that we can send you somewhere, or you need to be training that person. One of those two. We don't need to be a church that just gathers in like a big pond that gets stagnant. People come into the church, we train them up, but they also go out like a smooth flowing river. You come in, we're starting to see that we're planting churches. We're seeing that come together. Well, some of you need to go, some of you need to stay. But either way, you need to be training or being trained. You know what your mission is. Okay, what is my mission? This is your mission. Let's train you up and send you out. You might go to some foreign land. You might go across your street. You might carry on whatever mission that is. But you've got to be being trained or training someone. Sitting down and taking care of a building, making sure the paint don't look stale, that's got to go. That's got to stop. We've got to carry on our mission. What Joshua said, after seven tribes had remained and not receiving their inheritance, Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect and possess the land? Now I tell you, and we're closing now. This is your application point. This is where you really start focusing in on what God is speaking to you now. Let me tell you something that's different about us than the Israelites that didn't get to see the promised land. We still have a chance, don't we? Come on, don't we? Do you believe that? Do you believe there's still some kind of opportunity in your life to make a difference for God and for your mission, specifically your mission? Joshua told these people who were the children, after all this had been reminded, he said, now, let me tell you about what happened to us back then. And I want to ask you a question. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to complain? How long is it going to be before you pick it up? You know what it is. Now, do you believe in your mission? How long will you neglect your mission? Do you know what that mission is? You can come on up, brother. The feast is set before us. The promised land is there. The feast is set before us. It's time to stop selling for food stamps. Now, stand with me. You may say, well, brother, I don't even know what my mission is. I don't have a clue what it is. Pastor Richard and all our elders, our deacons, I want y'all to go ahead and come forward. If you're a servant, you're a deacon, deaconess in this church, come on up here too. Now listen. If you don't know what your mission is, then come ask one of these. Don't ask them, what is my mission? Because they're going to say, I don't know either. I'm not God. But I want you to let them pray with you. Now, some of us know what our mission is, and we don't want it. I'm sorry. It wasn't up to you to choose. God gave you a mission for a purpose. If that's where you're at and you want to move forward in your mission, then come pray with one of these guys. Bring it forward. Or maybe you're here and you don't even have a relationship with God. You're like, you know what? It's not about I'm a child of God and I don't know what my mission is. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And come on. Come pray with them. Now I ask you guys if y'all would release the altars and step out to the side there. And allow anyone else who wants to just come pray. Now stay up here. Your mission right now is to pray for people. I'm more concerned about you going out there and doing something. I can care less if we have one or two or 500 people come to this altar. I'm more concerned about you going out there and doing it. Pray with me. Father, we love you and we thank you for giving us something we can hold on to. For giving us something that says, you know what, I'm a part of moving the kingdom forward. How awesome is that? You didn't have to do that, God. You don't need us. We make so many mistakes. You don't need us to accomplish your goals. But God, you said, I want you as my children to be a part of this awesome plan of it growing the kingdom. I want, you said, I want you. And God, we look at you and say, but I don't want you. We say it whether we're lost or whether you've saved us and we thank you for the great things and the blessings. But when it's time for us to serve you, we say, God, I like all the things you've given me, but I'm not wanting to sacrifice. Forgive us for that attitude, Father. Forgive me. Press upon the hearts of your people right now to know their mission, to find their mission, and to believe in it and walk it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do with us from this point forward. In Jesus' name, Amen. Come on.